Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take this all over.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Sean Desay from Triumph MMA. Joby Wan Kenobi is holding everything down, Twitter and Facebook, and keeping us up to date on all the stats, as it seems like the UFC these days will change by the minute. We talk about TRT, and then 8 seconds later, it's officially banned. We will address that here in a second, but a lot to do this afternoon. We've got Darren Cruikshank. He will join us to talk about his fight with Eric Koch, and Daniel Cormier. He will stop by a little bit later on, number one, because he wants to talk about his little Twitter war that turned into a podcast war with John Jones to try and get his way into a title shot. And he wants to reward everyone who listens to Way of the Warrior, because he is going to give away a year of UFC Fight Pass. So we will tell you how to do that at the end of the show. So that's a huge thing, especially this weekend, because that's the only way that you can check out Alexander Gustafsson and Jimmy Manoa is on Fight Pass. So we will cover all of that stuff. But we start, I think, where we need to start, where we ended last week, which was this TRT thing. We talked really early on in the show about how ESPN had done this study and shown that TRT and TUE was all over the place in MMA, more so than any other sport, and we thought, oh, well, this will be a big deal. Well, it didn't take very long. As soon as we got done with the show, the Nevada Athletic Commission went into action, held a hearing, voted unanimously. TRE and TUE banned immediately. And here's where it gets interesting, and I covered it by myself last week, but glad to have you guys so we can kind of get some more perspective. What happened was, late Thursday night into Friday morning, the UFC released a press release saying that they've done this move to better the sport. And in that press release was a quote from Vitor Belfort saying that, given the time frame between now and May, I will not seek a license to fight against Chris Weidman. He then comes out later on Friday morning and goes, whoa, and gets on Facebook and says, he gets on Twitter first and says he's going to make the announcement on Facebook. So you go to Facebook, and the announcement was, what I said was, I will give up TRT because I have to, but at no point am I giving up this fight. This was a decision that the UFC made, and essentially going, look, that quote kind of out of context. I didn't really actually say that. And so an interesting place to start. And I, as I said last week, and I will say to you two guys while you were here, I don't think the UFC is wrong in this, because you can't have Vitor show up and pop dirty and ruin a title fight. So I get what they're doing, but if that quote misconstruing is real, that's kind of an odd thing to do to Vitor Belfort.
Well, you know, when the news came out, the first thing I did, my wife's a physician, I asked her, I said, how long does it take for it to get out of your system? Because I'm clueless. I have no idea. And when is that fight? May?
It's July 4th, right?
Yeah, it's coming up.
It's either Memorial Day weekend or July 4th weekend.
That's, in my opinion, I think that's plenty of time for it to be out of your system.
And I obviously,
right?
I'm not a doctor,
right?
But
we're just speculating.
We are just speculating, and your wife obviously is not a TRE or TUE expert,
sure,
right? But what I had heard, which is interesting, is when you're on it, and I would love for somebody who is a doctor with any sort of age-defying medicine or anything to come on the show and talk about this, but I had heard through a number of my contacts that some doctors will tell you that the longer you are on TRT or TUE, the synthetic testosterone will essentially tell your body to stop making actual testosterone and replace real testosterone with synthetic, so almost it's a permanent condition. And that's why, you know, Joe put up all of the stuff from Chael talking about it, because Chael knows for as long as he's been on TRT, there's a real possibility he may never, ever be able to test quote-unquote clean, because his body is doing it without him now. The synthetic just, you know, like a bionic
saying.
Arm or whatever, you know, the skin and the bone doesn't grow back. It just becomes a bionic arm. Like I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying this is factual. This is just me doing some internet searches and calling some people and asking some questions. But if that's even close to true, that certainly shows why Chael is going, look, guys, this may be the end, and you may never see the Vanderlei Chael fight because it's illegal in Brazil and illegal in Las Vegas, and I may never be able to test clean. And so for a guy like Vitor, who's been on it just as long,
If not longer.
If not longer, right. You know, that may be a really big problem. And Chael said it, and I know Joe put it up last night, and you can see the video again on our Facebook page by searching WOW Show. Chael said, look, this is going to retire people.
I'm glad that he, who has, you know, firsthand knowledge, is able to express that opinion. Because, I mean, you know, someone like me who's really clueless, I have no idea. When I hear Chael saying that, it's, I'm not saying everything he says is gold, but it's, I mean, close enough. But bottom line, he knows it's not going to work for him. And it's safe to say it's not going to work for a lot of people who are on it as well.
And you know, we'll talk to Darren Cruikshank, and I'm going to ask him about it. Because as a younger guy, while this is a big deal, and I'm not understating the bigness of this, and last week was a big week in mixed martial arts, as a seemingly... As
right,
2014,
yeah, yeah.
Every week has been a big week.
Sure.
But this is kind of it's going to retire people, and it's a big announcement, and a big announcement for younger guys. Darren Cruikshank, Eric Koch, Ricardo Lamas, all of these younger guys that you haven't heard a lot about. Well, as all of these older guys who may be on this, Dan Henderson, if Shogun's on it, Vitor Belfort, you know, any of those guys, if they end up having to retire, this opens up the sport for a whole bunch of new superstars, which... Very scary for the UFC because they got to build all these people up at this point. But exciting if you're a new fighter, if you're Kevin Lee just joining
yeah.
the UFC.
Well, it's kind of like the NFL, you know, what UFC is doing. I mean, they got, what, like 76 shows this year they got to do?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, 75, 76, right. Who's counting? Anyways.
Joe, that's his job.
That's why I gave him that look.
49 shows.
49 left.
Yes, okay. I think it was 56 total.
Wow.
But yeah.
All right, so... And so every season, you know, when we watch NFL, you've got these new rookies that are out there playing. We don't know who they are. Give them a year or two, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, he's building up his stats. I think the UFC is going in that right direction. It's definitely a brand, no doubt. Everyone knows that UFC is a brand. They had to do what they had to do back in the, you know, old days where they had to use Chuck Liddell and some other poster
Randy
boys.
Randy Couture, all
of
them.
And build up.
Yep.
But now it's not about, you know, who's this one person that can do this. And, I mean, pay-per-view points and all that, you know, let's put that aside. They're going in a direction. If you're doing 100 shows next year and then 200, what? Who
yeah.
knows, man?
I mean, I think 200 would probably be the max. But,
yeah
you could get up to 200.
I mean,
especially, Sean.
Because NFL is only national. I mean,
yeah.
they're going worldwide.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say. If Fight Pass blows up as it has been, I mean,
sure.
as soon as it went live, essentially, in March, that's when they charged you. If as it expands, yeah, why couldn't you do 200? You could.
Yeah.
They've got offices in Canada. They'll have offices everywhere else. Of course you could.
They just announced they're going to have two shows in one night. I think it's May 31st coming up here. Yeah, so
UFC is doing two shows in one night.
Yeah, the Ultimate Fighter Brazil finale.
That's pimp, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, and they're having a show in Berlin, Germany on the same night. You couldn't change that to a Friday, Saturday or something else, you know?
Not if you want to sell the tickets.
Well, I mean, you know, Dana White's cloning himself, obviously, and so he's
clearly
be at
yeah.
both shows,
right.
and you know, he's.
Well,
he's,
I mean, you,
it's
look,
awesome.
That's
that
a great. No, that's that a off. That's a great way to make a transition. You saw. I mean, how many people, ourselves included, went, who in the hell is John Anik, and why would I ever listen to John Anik? And here we are, a year and a half later, like, oh, John and Kenny are doing the thing. Cool, that's awesome. You know,
no, it's not awesome with Kenny, but John's. Cool.
You know what I'm saying?
I like
you know,
what do you got against Kenny?
Dude, his head's huge,
okay.
man.
That hair, it's his hair. Adds
nah,
4 inches.
No, nah, it's his fighting style. It's everything, man.
Well, he doesn't fight anymore, so
it
I
was
guess,
his fighting
right.
style.
But what I'm saying. Is you they've already done this. They built a brand that seemed impossible. How on earth were you going to supplant Joe Rogan and Mike Goldberg? What they can't do all of these things? Why would I even watch it if they can't do anything? And then here we are a year and a half
yeah.
later. Oh, cool, these guys are gonna do it, which means next week it's
the,
a pay-per-view
the
and
the TRT that, guys that can't fight are gonna be announcing it and being on the show.
You
and,
tell me right
yeah.
now you wouldn't want Chael to do color for
Dude,
a fight.
You know oh, yeah. Chael's going to
yeah. Of course
Come
he
on.
Is.
You know he is.
If he ends up retiring, of course he is. But that's what I'm saying is
I'm tuning in just because of Chael.
On the TV side
I hope he does the one in Brazil all the time too.
But what I'm saying is on the TV side, they know how to do this. They made
yeah.
Dominic Cruz into a household name without ever being in the octagon. He's been on TV more than he's been in the octagon
yeah.
since this Fox deal.
I saw Melendez, who almost went to Bellator, on Fox.
Yeah,
that
a week later.
Last night, right?
Last night, yeah.
He's hanging out like, wait, you're a company man now? You almost...
Must have been in the contract.
Must have been.
But,
Bjorn.
You know, but I just think it's an interesting time for the UFC because
yeah,
as these guys are going to cycle out and whatever happens, like Chael said, and you'll see the video if you haven't on our Facebook page, he said, look, I reserve the right to change my answer in 30 days as this thing changes because... I'm not kidding when I tell you we literally stopped recording the show and they just made the decision. Okay, it's done. We're banned. So there needs to be some kind
of... Oh, wait. I didn't know that. I'm out of the loop there. So they just stopped with the reality show?
No. I mean the TRT. They just...
Oh, you know, I thought you were talking about the...
Like, as quickly as they matched, just banned it. And so there's going to be this feeling out period about, whoa. Like, we talked about it on Facebook because we had to cover it that way. But the Dan Henderson-Shogun fight, everybody wanted to ask that question. What happens with Dan
Henderson? They're the last ones.
They're the last one. Yeah, you know, Dan is the last man in Brazil going to be given a TRT exemption. So there's still this, like, kind of going through the dark sort of phase.
I bet Chris Weidman's happy.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Because
he's fighting Machida now.
He's fighting Machida, which I'm not mad about.
No.
I think
Machida deserves it.
Machida deserves it, and I think it's an interesting fight.
Though Machida could use a little bit of a longer rest, in my opinion, to go right back into camp again. You know, I mean, he did Musasi, I mean, that fight, that was five rounds.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Uh-huh. Against Musasi? Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
That was tough. Even though Musasi was, you know, a few steps behind him, the fact that he did five rounds, you know, he got a little banged up, not too bad, but, you know... And he is not making that same mistake when they offered it when John Jones needed an opponent. And he was like, no, Weidman needed an opponent. Bam, he jumped on that thing.
Yep.
Yeah, well, good for him.
And I think it's because he knows that he has some things that Chris has not seen.
Yep.
I am not – we'll break it down as we get closer to the fight because who knows if it's actually going to be Lyoto Machida or Chris Weidman as this year has kind of flushed itself out. But as we get there, we'll have more in-depth coverage. But I think this is an interesting fight because with Vitor, you essentially know what he was going to do.
Oh, yeah.
He was going to go in rage mode, overpower him, and try and win this in round one. Yep. With Lyoto Machida, you know that he can go five rounds with Gegard Mousasi if he needs to. So he's a tactician who can end a fight if you let him, or he can play the points game if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, and he did a five-round title fight with Shogun the first time around, too.
For sure.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, he's definitely seasoned, and he's got the skill sets, obviously. It makes a great fight. Now, for Weidman, I mean, he's got plenty of time, but to change, I mean, you're – like you just pointed out, that's two totally different opponents now.
Way different.
Yeah, way different. One's much heavier in the boxing department, and, well, lately he's been knocking out people with kicks. But, you know, Vitor's known for his hands. And, you know, Machida's he's just known for all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, you have no idea what he's going to be known for next. All right, when we come back, we had a fight over the weekend. We will talk about that. Plus, we've got a fight this weekend. We go to London. We'll talk about all of that next. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. And coming up a little bit later on, Darren Cruikshank and Daniel Cormier to give away a year's worth of UFC Fight Pass. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Sean Desay of Triumph MMA and Joby Wan Kenobi, who is in charge of Facebook and Twitter. So if you ever have any complaints about what gets up there or Sean's terrible comments that he puts on everything, those are directed at...
Wait. I don't make terrible comments.
You hate everything on that page. Everything Joe puts up, you're the first one on it, goes lame.
Those
fake,
are just your posts. He does that.
Fake, stupid.
Wait, no. If it's fake, it's fake. I'll call BS when I see it. But if it's... You know, I don't...
My first and only heckler,
what?
Sean Desay.
Only? Yeah. Come on, man. No, seriously, though. What have I done lately? Though?
Okay, relax. It's fine. Okay. We had the Ultimate Fighter China finale this past weekend, which while many of the fighters, of course, you're not probably aware of because you maybe didn't watch Fight Pass or were even aware there was an Ultimate Fighter China. We talked about it in the last segment that they could be doing up to 200 shows next year. Joe told you that there's going to be a night in May that they're going to do two events at once. Next year, maybe they'll do six. Who knows what they're going to do? But you're going to have this where new crop of fighters, you have no – it's Sean Desay's favorite show. Who the hell is this guy?
Right.
So Ultimate Fighter China was who the hell is this guy except for two fights. Matt Mitrione and Sean Jordan, which if you ever wanted to see the encapsulation of what every heavyweight fight could possibly be, it is that one. Because Sean Jordan, in my opinion, was getting the better of those exchanges for most of it. Makes one mistake in probably, if you've never been in an octagon or ever been in a ring, probably the scariest position in upright fighting is that you're trapped and trying to get out. So Sean Jordan is trapped up against the octagon in the clinch, tries to get out, and... Mitrione catches him and then just brutally finishes that fight with 1 second left to go.
Yeah, I mean, never quit, you know, go all the way and just keep fighting all the
way.
Well,
but I say that with some excitement because leading up to that fight, Sean, a lot of people were like, look, man, Sean's going to roll right over Mitrione. We saw that Mitrione.
Really? A lot of people thought that?
Yeah, he was totally the favorite. Wow. You know, a lot of people thought that Mitrione had peaked as an athlete. This is the caliber of fighter you're going to get. And so a huge win for Mitrione, especially in the way that it went down. He was losing most of those exchanges. Could have, I mean, we could have had a debate because it wasn't like super one-sided
or
the other, but could have lost that round. But he gets in the clinch. He sees his moment and clips him, and that's all she wrote. And leading up to that, Kenny Florian, who you're obviously not a fan of, but was saying a lot of people underestimate Matt Mitrione's speed at his weight, and that was...
But it's clear and obvious. I mean, you can see his speed.
It is clear and obvious, but...
I mean, even his previous fights.
When you're in that transition period, that's when he's going to catch you, just like Sean Jordan. I mean, early in the fight, when Mitrione was dipping his head down, Sean's favorite thing is an uppercut. If he decided to do that, which he didn't, he could have ended that fight in the first 2 minutes as Mitrione is ducking his head down to do these, you know, protect your head sort of moves. So a big win for Mitrione. And then the main card, main event of the main card was interesting in Dongyoung Kim taking on John Hathaway. Hathaway out for nearly 2 years with Crohn's disease. And I'm going to tell you this. If you didn't walk away from that fight with a lot of respect for a guy named John Hathaway, then you weren't paying a lot of attention. Because I'm going to tell you, most of the other fighters in that weight class that took that amount of damage in that first round would have not made
he got rocked.
He was on the wrong end of a whooping for most of that fight, but he stuck in there. And I before the show started, Joe and I were talking about, even as the fight progressed, he was still able to land that knee, which is a signature move, anywhere he wanted to. He just obviously couldn't finish the fight that way, but this is a guy who's still going for broke and ending that fight, and that spinning elbow was like a gunshot.
Hathaway was going for an elbow himself.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. He was coming in with the lead rear elbow, and spinning back is what caught him. Yeah, you know Kim's style when he in the first few seconds of the fight, the way he was kind of like just kind of a little loose and it was kind of weird. I was like, oh, that's going to be unpredictable. It's kind of hard to fight a guy who moves like that because you're looking for the little twitches and some little flinch moves that make you.
Yeah, and he was like,
he was just walking. I mean, yeah, he was kind of zombie-ish in a way.
Yeah, and you saw that on Twitter. Everyone was like, the Korean zombie's already been taken, dude.
Yeah,
like, knock it off. We've already, you know.
Well, he said that he's kind of changed his style, too. He's only going to come forward, and he's looking for big finishes, big knockouts.
He must have been training with Chris Lytle, huh?
Well, yeah, and that's a conversation Eric and I were having. You know, we're seeing less and less grappling, less and less Brazilian jiu-jitsu submissions. We put a stat up. There's only been eight submissions out of, like, 75 fights so far in 2013. Why is that, Sean? Are we seeing guys looking for the fight of the night? Are more fighters going for the to appeal to the fans?
Well, just like every other sport, jiu-jitsu is evolving and growing just as fast as MMA is. You got more girls, boys, everyone, kids, everyone's doing jiu-jitsu. And for everyone out there that has practiced or trained under any kind of jiu-jitsu, your defense is always going to be better than your offense, especially in the beginning phases. So I don't think that it's people are trying to go for knockouts or whatever. I think people are going for submissions. I mean, Kevin Lee went for one, but people's defenses for a lot of these submissions are much, much higher. So it's just harder to finish guys with subs these days.
Well, and you didn't tell the story on the air, so you know, stop me if you don't want me to. I'm not going to give any away secrets, but you were telling me about another fighter you have in your gym that as their career progresses, as they get tapped to X, you go and defend X. As they get tapped to Y, you go and defend Y. And so, you know, as these guys are in the AMIs and then go to the pro-AMs, before you even see them in the UFC, that's what they're doing. Oh, you lost an armbar? Okay, we'll defend the armbar. Okay, you lost a triangle? So, yeah, you're if it was a video game, you would be getting XP in the defense category because you're not going back to the gym and going, oh, he caught you in a triangle? Well, let me teach you an offensive submission while you're in a triangle.
Right, yeah.
You're going, nope, how do you get out of here?
Yeah, well, one of my guys, you know, he lost to a standing guillotine, and then I, 2 weeks, or was it 2 weeks? About 2.5 weeks later, you know, we had a back-to-back fight. He fought again. And the guy got a standing guillotine, totally 100% defended it. And then,
but this is what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, I think so it was, every it was, gym is...
You don't want to learn in fights.
No, you want to learn
it in the gym, but eventually, it happens in a fight. So.
You'll find a guy, like, let's use Chael Sonnen as an example. You'll find a guy that's really susceptible to triangles. Well, okay, then you're going to go and defend triangles. One of the biggest questions about Jon Jones when he took that Shogun fight was, what happens when it goes to the ground? Shogun's going to wipe the mat with him.
Look,
Jon Jones has a really awesome jiu-jitsu defense. It just goes, okay, fight over. I think you're seeing that is where people are learning. You're not maybe learning the aggressive version, the Marcelo Garcia version of jiu-jitsu.
And it's hard, man. You know, I mean,
it's brutally hard.
You can train jiu-jitsu as much as possible, gi, no gi. You can go and try different styles. You can do the Eddie Bravos, rubber guard. You can try all this stuff and find what works for you best. But bottom line, at the end of the day, or hopefully by the end of the week, you need to go into a gym. You need to put on some MMA gloves, training style gloves. You need to get with your training partner, start in a guard, maybe not even start in guard, just start like the guy's on his back and you're standing up holding on to his ankles and try to pass his guard. Be careful of the up kicks. Try to get your punches in, soften the guy up, and try to get your position first, and then try to find your sub. By the time you get all that done, man, you could be gassed out. It's so hard to pull off just that one submission. You know, that's why some guys, you know, like stand-up fighters, they're calm and they're good when they're standing up. Their heart rate's not as high. But as soon as it goes down, it skyrockets. And the same thing with the jits guys. When they're standing up, they're panicking, they're freaking out. But as soon as it goes to the ground, they're just breathing out of their nose like it's nothing. So it's too, and, you know, wrestlers are the same way. So you just really need to understand, you know, there's that joke out there. Yeah, punch him in the face, a black belt turns into a brown belt.
Yep.
Punch him again, he turns a purple belt. You know, it's kind of true. You know, I mean, you know, an arm bar, a couple of guys could pull it off with just one arm, but technically you need two arms. Well, you've got a free one. Hit the guy in the face, and maybe that arm bar won't be as tight anymore.
And
you know?
There was another fight over the weekend that Joe and I were talking about before we went on the air, the CBS Sports Titan FC fight where you had Mike Ricci.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm.
Just destroyed George Gurgel.
What's up with George,
you know,
man?
I mean, a perfect example of what you're saying.
Like he's like a third degree black belt.
Mm-hmm. And Mike Ricci got in a position that I don't think anybody, if you went into George's gym and said, hey, I would like to put you in George's guard in gi, no gloves, straight jiu-jitsu, ready, go. Nobody's going to be like, ooh, pick me. They won't do that. But Mike Ricci gets in this position and just destroys him.
But perfect defense. His head was posture up whenever George was going for higher guard positions with his legs, triangle, arm bars, whatever. Beautiful pass, elbow strikes. I mean, you know, granted, it sucks being, you know, 5'7" or whatever Gurgel is compared to a 6-footer.
Yes.
You know, that played a factor.
A perfect example of what we're talking about here is that you've got a guy who, in that position on paper, you'd be like, oh, well, he'll...
You would think the coach would be like, perfect. Now we've got this fight where we want to be.
Exactly.
And no, you don't.
No, not at all. So this weekend we go to London, Ultimate Fight Night 37. Alexander Gustafsson and Jimmy Manoa. Jimmy Manoa undefeated, but most of the universe, I'm going to guess most of this room, is thinking that this is almost an exact replay of Daniel Cormier and Patrick Cummins.
Well, because a lot of people don't know who Jimmy is, so that's just...
Do you not agree? Do you think it's more close? I mean, most people...
You want me to be honest? I'll be honest. Before, I barely know the guy.
Okay, but what I'm saying is I'm following some of the luminaries.
Coming off of that Jones fight, why is he fighting this dude, right?
Right. Well,
on Fight Pass, too.
On Fight Pass.
You go from headlining a pay-per-view to fighting on Fight Pass.
Well, I mean, I think they need to start... If Ken was here, he would talk about the business end. They need to start building that thing up so you're going to pay for it. Because I had one of our... fans of the show, Will Torrey, asked me this week, hey, man, have you heard yet? Have they done the update to the phone? Because all of February, when it was free, you couldn't watch it on the UFC app on your phone. Well, that kind of sucks because that's the only place I want to really watch it. And he was like, hey, can you do it yet? And I found the information. He signed up for Fight Pass because he doesn't want to miss this fight. And that's what they need to do. But most of the guys in the circles that we follow are like, this is not even a surprise. Like,
yeah,
I don't even know why we're doing this. Like, Jimmy Manoa should just give up and not even show up in the ring and just hand it over to Gustafsson.
Manoa is 14-0, and he's gone 3-0 in the UFC so far. Against, you know, guys that we don't know, but 14-0, So, I mean, he's no slouch.
I'm not saying he is a slouch, but I just think, like Sean was alluding to, you went toe-to-toe with the champion and nearly won that fight.
Yeah.
And here you are fighting a guy that most people don't know who's only had three fights in the UFC, headlining a card in London on Fight Pass.
Well, let's just talk about the co-main event, I guess.
Absolutely. as a guy that Sean and I are very high on, and Michael Johnson, taking on Melvin Gillard, and
yes.
Gillard has been talking a lot of trash because that's what he's good at.
Yes.
But I don't know, guys. Michael has looked beyond awesome at this weight class. And I think for as strong as Melvin is at this weight class, I just think Johnson is stronger.
Yeah, but Melvin's got that Vitor thing about him. You know what I mean? Like that first round, he's really, really dangerous.
He does, but if you can last 5 minutes, it's pretty much all you.
Or if you can just lock up a nice, good rear naked choke.
Yes, if you get anywhere near a submission, it's pretty much game over.
True.
But I'm excited to see this fight because
it's explosive for sure.
It's explosive. It'll be a great way to get you excited for the main event. And more importantly, we'll talk to Darren Cruikshank in a little bit, another 155er. More importantly, Sean, this is a big fight for Michael Johnson because this puts him on the map and gets him one step closer to what we've been talking about. We want to see this guy get closer to a title shot because he looks awesome at this weight.
Yeah, I mean, this would be, I think this is the fight that he needs to be, who was the Russian? Help me out.
Nurmagomedov?
Yeah, because he didn't want to fight Michael Johnson. If Johnson gets past Gillard, this is the fight that he needs so that when another opportunity that's close to a title shot, you know, definitely a number one spot, this is what Johnson needs.
Well, you beat Melvin Gillard. I think you'd be in the top 10, I would say, or really close to it.
Close to it.
Yeah, he's 14 right now.
Yeah.
But to beat Melvin, and it puts him that much closer.
What's Melvin at?
He's not ranked.
Okay.
But the guy's been 07 or 06 or whatever year he was on The Ultimate Fighter. That guy, I mean, to beat Melvin is good. I mean, I don't want to say as good as like a Cerrone, but it's in that same level. You know, if you beat Cerrone, bam, you get catapulted up there real quick. So I think that's a really good fight for
him. You're 1,000% correct. We alluded earlier to Daniel Cormier. We'll talk to him in a little while. But he called out John Jones, and John Jones said essentially, dude, fight somebody at 205 and then we'll talk. Well, using that same logic, Michael Johnson beats Melvin Gillard, you run out of that, hey, fight somebody and then we'll talk, because you're fighting a guy who's very seasoned in the UFC and has, you know, certainly had his demons, but a guy who has been a longtime gatekeeper at that weight class, that if you get past him, it's go time. You're gonna see all the superstars.
Go for it. You know, and I'm a Michael Johnson fan. I've liked him. You know, I mean, I liked what he did when he was on The Ultimate Fighter, and I definitely liked his transition. I'm not really a big fan of the Black Zillions, but I think he's done well there for himself as far as which direction he's going in and stuff. So, yeah, the guy's fun to watch. I mean, we've seen him get hurt and come back in a fight. You know, that's always a fan favorite right there. So,
and then, of course, the rest of the card rounds out like this. Brad Pickett, a great striker, taking on Neil Seary at 13-9. Gunnar Nelson, who everybody is excited about. And he is another guy taking on Omari Akhmedov, who is 12-1. Gunnar Nelson is a guy that, and I've said this before.
I like this guy.
If you have not seen Gunnar fight, much like Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, these guys that have fought on undercards and put on spectacular performances that you, if you're fortunate enough in the pay-per-view that it goes quick, you get to see them. But most chances, Joe, you don't get to see them. But Gunnar Nelson is another guy like Nurmagomedov that you're going to be
He
hearing.
Has something special.
He has a lot special. Yeah. You know, he's just one of those guys that you want to see more of.
Did he have a knee injury? What was his injury? Why was he out so long?
I believe it was something along those
lines. Look it up. Henzo Gracie he's a Henzo Gracie black belt, and Henzo said that he's going to be a champion.
Whoa!
Henzo doesn't say that about just anybody.
Yeah. Well, he said it about himself, but that didn't happen yet.
Well, right.
Hey.
I like Hens.
I'm just
teasing.
But this is a great kickoff card for the pay fight pass, because you would have started paying on Sunday morning, and this will be your first chance.
That's a great way to start
off
a fight.
You, with Fight Pass, you will get to watch all of these fights, both the prelims and the main card. And like I said, next we're going to talk to Darren Cruikshank, but then after that, Daniel Cormier is going to stop by, and we're actually going to give away a free year of Fight Pass,
DC.
So you'll be able to check this out, and we will talk to DC about John Jones. We'll talk to him about Patrick Cummins, if you made him coffee afterwards, and all of those things, and we will do that next. And you can follow along all weekend long by just getting on Twitter or Facebook and searching Wow Show. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior. Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior, it is your MMA show. Eric O'Brien, along with Sean Desay from Triumph MMA, and Joby Wan Kenobi holding everything down for Twitter and Facebook. And joining us on the line, very excited. I think this is the first time we have talked to you, Darren. Darren Cruikshank joins us to talk about his new fight and all the exciting stuff going on at 155. Darren, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Actually, just got out of conditioning. So, I'm about to get some grub. Feel pretty good.
And so right now, what does grub look like? You got a fight in May, so you're obviously not worried about that much about the cut. What do you eat for grub at this point?
I'm going to get a grilled chicken omelet. No hash browns, no toast, just the omelet. So just smash away.
Absolutely. Okay, so before we start talking about what's going on in the Octagon, I want to ask you this question because I find it very interesting given what you do in the Octagon. Would you say that your out-of-Octagon life could be best described by taking naps with tiny kittens and shooting giant guns?
Yes, but my kitten is not tiny. It's a big one.
He or she looks like she's part tiger. I don't know what kind of a cat that is, but that's the largest cat I've ever seen in my life. So,
just a really obese, overweight fat cat.
So the cat gets the hash browns and the toast. You just eat the omelet, right?
Exactly.
You got a fight coming up May 10th, taking on Eric Koch at 55. This is a really exciting fight for anybody who's been following your career, because this seems, to me anyway, Darren, kind of an ideal matchup for people to see what you can do in the Octagon.
Exactly. It's going to be an exciting fight, and, for the most part, most of my fights have been pretty exciting. But we got two superstars out there, me and Eric, that are capable of doing some pretty crazy stuff. So I think it'll be a great fight for the fans.
Absolutely, and the first time the UFC is going to be in Cincinnati since 2006, so the crowd is going to be absolutely insane. Rich Franklin's going to be on that card, so you guys have a real opportunity to win that fight bonus that they have, because I think getting the crowd behind you and putting on a spectacular performance is both in your DNAs.
Yes, exactly.
So talk a little bit about 55. How is that feeling for you? It looks like it feels pretty great. Is it awesome for you?
What was the question?
How is 155 feeling for you? You like it down there?
Oh, yeah, no, I feel like I'm a true 55-er. I walk around about 78, and closer to the fight, I'll get to about 73. And then the week that I leave, I'll try to hit 70, maybe a little under. And then, the rest is all water, basically. Most of the time, the guys I'm fighting are a little taller than me. And, I've always trained for that or gotten used to it. And, one of the fighters that I've always looked up to when I was growing up was Benny the Jet Yukitas. And he always said that the shorter fighter has the advantage because he's closer to the ground and he can move faster. So it's not a big deal to me.
And it allows you to do crazy things like that wheel kick you did on Mike Rio.
Exactly.
Darren Cruikshank is joining us. We're talking about his upcoming fight May 10th against Eric Koch. Let's shift gears a little bit, because I'm trying to get most fighters' take on what happened last week with the TRT. You obviously being a young guy, this isn't an issue to you, but what do you see the layout of the UFC becoming now that this is effectively banned immediately?
Is it banned in every state, or is it not, just, I heard it was just in Vegas.
Right now it's just Vegas, and Brazil followed suit shortly after, but you obviously have big implications since the fight capital of the world changed it, that pretty much assumes that the ban will be universal soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be banned. I mean, it's not fair, obviously, for, the young guys that are up and coming and stuff. They're a little younger, and they should have more testosterone and things like that, and then the older guys should be getting out of the game, and letting the young guys come up. So, that's just kind of how I feel. I'm 28. I'm about to be 29 in June, and I've never touched anything my whole entire athletic career. It's my athletic ability has taken me so far, and just hard work, determination.
And we will see that athletic ability on display May 10th as you take on Eric Koch. Darren, I know you got a lot going on, and we want to let you get to that omelet. So thank you so much for spending a couple minutes with us, dude. And we will hopefully talk to you right before the fight, if that's cool.
Sounds great. Yes, hit me up that week. We will set something up. I'm glad to be on anytime, guys.
All right, man. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And we go from Darren Cruikshank to Daniel Cormier, who joins us to talk a little bit about 205 and to give away a year of Fight Pass. Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. And you?
I am doing excellent. You, my friend, are having a pretty brilliant 2014, I should say, right?
Well, it just started, you know what I mean? Let's a little bit and see how it continues. I mean, it started off with a bang. I must admit myself that that first fight couldn't have went any better.
Well, and Daniel, when I was watching it, obviously watching you come up through Strikeforce and seeing all the amazing things that you were able to do, I don't know that anyone had been able to witness that sort of intensity and see you finish that fight in the way that you finished it. I think a lot of people went, holy, Daniel Cormier 205 is going to be a lot of trouble for a lot of people.
You know, man, it was an opportunity to fight at my best. And granted, I wasn't fighting the guys I had been fighting, you know, and this was the type of fight that I went in there and it's like, you know what, I've got to really introduce myself to this division. I have to really make a statement, and I feel like I did that. You know, whenever you have a guy that may not have the resume of the people that I was normally fighting, you have to go out there and treat them the way that people expect you to treat them. And that's exactly what I think I did.
Oh, you most certainly did. And Daniel, anyone who's in your position knows that that's also the most dangerous, because if anything goes wrong in that fight, you know, that can tarnish what you've done to those much, much higher caliber fighters.
You know, I was really worried about that. Towards the end of the fight week, I started getting some concern because I was like, man, everybody keeps going. This is like a trap, Daniel, a trap. You know how in basketball and football it's a trap game.
Right.
Where you go into a game where you're supposed to win and you start looking at your Oklahoma State, right? And you're sitting there against Texas Tech. You're looking at Texas Tech. And but Kansas is right down. It's Wednesday. You're playing. So you start looking at Kansas. And that's the trap game. And I kind of started believing because I'm a big sports fan. I'm like, man, is this really a trap fight for me? Where everything can completely go out of the window if I don't take care of business. As I looked at it objectively, it really was. I had to be really focused and committed to competing and fighting the way that I've been able to for the entirety of my career.
It was a brilliant performance. You got out of it, I'm assuming, pretty much unscathed, which obviously leads you to be looking for another dance partner at 205. You had some verbal sparring with John Jones. He doesn't seem to think that you're ready, but if this year has taught us anything, there is no guarantee that Glover Teixeira or John Jones make it to that fight necessarily healthy. Would you be ready if they called you for that?
Well, I think you have to stay ready. You know, I just got back, so I can't sit here and say that I'm prepared right now. But, I think if I got a phone call or getting prepared for a fight, I would. And I mean, those are opportunities that come very few in a lifetime. Now, Eric, I'll be completely honest with you. In an ideal world, I would know I'm fighting for the belt and would have a complete training camp to prepare for that once-in-a-lifetime type of opportunity. But if this was how I got it, I would have to miss it and just be as prepared as I could be.
Daniel Cormier joining us.
To the point of John saying that I don't deserve a title shot yet, my only thing is I don't believe that these guys should just eliminate everything I did at heavyweight. People are just – they completely eliminate my entire resume. It's almost like everything I did, it's like I'm starting all the way over. That's not how it works.
No, and
I won some big fights in my career.
Well, you won some big fights, Daniel, and I don't know. I mean, on our side, when we were talking about it, none of us would have been surprised had you got an instant title shot at 205. That seemed really reasonable since you had made it clear, look, I'm not going to fight Kane, so no matter how awesome I do in heavyweight, I just won't go there. So why wouldn't, yes, your resume carry over to a lighter weight class where you certainly have competed against the upper echelon of your former division?
Yes, and now, granted, I'm not the champion, but there are guys that move around and get immediate title shots. Frankie was a former champion, got a title shot right away. Pettis was going to get a title shot. I'm not Frankie Edgar or Anthony Pettis, but the one thing that I can say, and I'll tell you this right here, Eric, and I'm going to go down from the beginning. Ronda Rousey, Miesha Tate, Gilbert Melendez, Nick Diaz, Jake Shields, Dan Henderson, Alistair Overeem. What do all those guys have in common?
They all got instant title shots.
They were all Strikeforce champions. They all have fought for the belt or been scheduled for the belt. Nobody that was a Strikeforce belt holder has fought three times and had to wait for a championship fight. So there is value in what happens in that other organization. So those guys can't just throw it out of the window.
Absolutely. Daniel Cormier joining us. And, of course, we're going to give away that year of Fight Pass here in a minute. You can get signed up and win that. One more thing before I let you go. I want to say congrats. I just read that you're going to be the honorary captain for the wrestling team at the World Cup. How cool is that?
That's a big deal, man. It's the first time we've hosted the World Cup in a real long time. I truly believe we're putting one of our best teams out there that we have in a long time. And for USA Wrestling to even call me and give me that honor, it means a lot to me. My wrestling career did not end the way that I wanted it. So to be tied to that team again and to be back tied to the sport that made me, it's a complete honor and a privilege.
Daniel Cormier, always a pleasure, my friend. You are just one of the good guys in the sport. I wish you all the best. Cannot wait to see you in that title shot. And if they make you wait any longer, I'll start making some phone calls, okay?
Hey, you know what? I want to tell you one thing, though, before you get off the phone. I'll be rooting for Jimmy Manoah this weekend when he fights Alexander Gustafson. Because if Jimmy Manoah can do it, Daniel Cormier will be getting the title shot. Now, so, all your fans, tune into Fight Pass on Saturday and watch Manoah versus Gustafson and scream at your computer, your smart TV, or whatever you watch, for Jimmy Manoah to land that knockout punch and earn me a title shot.
Absolutely. Have an awesome weekend, my friend. I'll look forward to having you back on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Eric.
Take care. And just like that, Daniel Cormier is gone. And much like last week, in the course of the time it took you to listen to this show, we have more breaking news. As TRT now banned officially in the state of California. So all the dominoes are starting to fall. In answer of Darren Cruikshank's question 5 seconds ago, yes, it's now illegal in one more state. Okay, so we got a lot to do this weekend, and we got this Fight Pass to give away. So connected to this either Facebook post, Twitter, or the website, if you're watching it, listening to it, I should say, on iTunes, Sketcher, or Stitcher, or Podbean, you can get the link right at the bottom right now. Get signed up. Saturday morning, we're going to pick a winner. You are going to get a full year of UFC Fight Pass, and you'll be able to check out Manoah Gustafson, London, Saturday night. So you've got a little bit over 30 hours to get signed up, so go do that. Have a great weekend. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.